Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome back to the third and final hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this beautiful Saturday morning of Father's Day weekend. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm Sugar Rush Hatton.
Sugar Rush Hatton.
Man, those the apple Baconator fritters are Hatton. Unbelievable, man.
There's no place makes them better than that in the
Goodness.
World. And our wonderful producer this morning.
Good morning, Joanna here.
What's going on, girl?
Can't believe it's almost over. Last hour.
Goes by quick, doesn't
it? Yes.
Okay. Really does. Man, I could talk about fishing 12 hours a day and just continue the next day and on and on and on. You never run out of topics. It's just, there's always something.
Yeah. Always
something. Always something to talk
there's
about when we talk about
something.
Fishing and hunting. Outdoors, period. All right, well, let's go down south. Let's go down to the Baffin Bay area. Let's talk to our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb. Hello, Mr. Webb.
Good morning, Mickey. Benny, how's it going, guys?
Good, brother. Doing, what's up?
Oh, I was sitting there listening to Plog about cooking chicken. You know, I was probably 7 years old. I was probably 7 years old before I knew a chicken had anything besides feet and neck. That's all the parents are fed us, you know? But you got. You know, when you're kids, we got all the scraps. I don't know about you guys, but.
Oh, yeah.
8, 9 years old before I had a leg or anything. You know? No, it's all good, man. It's all good. We had a really crazy week down here. I don't know if you saw that big blue marlin that beached itself here on the beach.
Yeah, I watched a video that James's son's friends with that guy that was trying to revive that marlin. That was a lost cause.
Yeah, that I tell you what, that blow up in the first gut was unbelievable. When he started trying to get off that bar, and that 300-pound marlin was throwing some water, buddy. That was amazing.
They're powerful fish, aren't they?
Yeah, just incredible. But he just had a lot of stuff going on down here. The fishing's just been great. I was listening to Jeff Code, I guess, was talking about taking his wife. I took Carol, my wife, fishing yesterday. We had an anniversary last week. And as cheap as I am, I said, well, I'll just take you fishing for an anniversary present. You know, I don't want to fish you much. I just took her fishing and we go out like the crack of 8:30 yesterday morning. You know, it's not a real early deal, and there's just a ton of fish up here on the north end. We've got a little push of that cool water. We had an updwelling in the Gulf, and that cooler water has pushed up on this north end, and it's that cooler water is flowing down the shoreline, and it's going over these sand points and stuff, and they're just stacked up with fish. And I get up there about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and there's 15 to 20 boats, you know, anchored up croaker fishing on the sandbar. And I got a little space, maybe 200 or 300 yards in between to make a little drift through there. My wife and I drifted through there on paddle tails, and she loves fishing on paddle tails. And I was just cranking them up on top, and we had 9 big fish, you know, up to 23 inches, just on paddle tails on the very first drift. I mean, probably 30 minutes. It was just amazing how many fish are in there. And then we turn around and make another drift, and I put the sea anchor out, Mickey. I look in front. It's a big old gold ball of redfish in front of me. How many of those big ones? Those 35-inchers. And there's probably 300 or 400 fish in the school. And they just come up. You know, I just love it when they just come up right in front of you. I know you had that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're just fishing, all of a sudden they just appear. And anyway, we threw into those mud apes and started catching those 32, 35-inch red yesterday. And I turn around and make another pass to him, and I said, "You want to make another pass?" She goes, "No, I'm done with those things."
she had enough of that, huh?
Yeah, she had bruises on her. She had bruises on her stomach from the rod butt. So after that, we just went and caught some flounder. But man, our fishing's picked up. It's our trout fishing in Baffin slow simply because salinity level's so high, Mickey. You know, it's just super salty down there. I think this rain's really going to help us. Now, if you get out and wade fish and get up there in that knee-deep water,
right,
up in the sloughs and stuff, there's still some really big fish in there, but I just haven't had the people that want to get up and do that. You know, it takes a certain amount of guys and get up there and wade in those muddy sloughs right now, but there's some fish way back in the sloughs. It's amazing.
Is there? How muddy are those sloughs?
Well, it's funny.
I mean, it ain't all that knee-deep to crotch-deep. Mud, is it?
Well, you know, if you can walk around the edge and get up on the land, you can get to the back of them. It's not too bad. The mouths are really bad, but man, there's some big fish. I'm seeing those guys in those burn boats. They pull the mouth and they get their binoculars and they look way back in those sloughs and they see them. Then they pile out with their little bait bucket with croakers and they get out there and catch them. But it's you got to really dedicate your day to doing that. You know, with the customers, it's hard because it takes a lot of patience. You know, especially trying to throw a lure at them. You know, to get positioned to get a shot at one of them. I caught one the other day at Wednesday. It was 29 inches, and I was standing in the mouth of the slough, and that fish just happened. I saw her coming down the shoreline, and I just loved. I wear solid blue. I just stood there, and she came close to me and just shot by me real fast. I go, oh man, I'm not gonna get a shot at her. And then she kind of went out about 20 yards and kind of real slow, and I just walked up behind her, kept following her, and made a cast over her, the left side of her. And she just smoked it. Amazing. But the fish only weighed 7 pounds. She was skinny.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of that down that way. You know, those fish get real lean this time of year, and that's why I talked to Frank Cavazos this morning. He's the one that's leading the star down at Port Isabel.
Oh, man, no, 11 pounder.
Hey, that fish was, he goes, yeah, it was only 32 and a quarter inches long.
Only.
But it weighed 11, right. And he said they're catching some, his buddy caught a 35 incher. It was 10-14.
35.
35-inch trout. What a that's a yardstick long.
Get so, yeah. Well, listen, those fish get a lot longer the farther south you go, simply because the water's shallow and they develop long torpedo-looking to chase that bait down in the flats.
Right.
You take a structure fish, you know, like you guys got, our structure fish are fatter and shorter and bulkier simply because they don't have to cover the ground. But you make your living down there in 2 foot of water in the flats, you better be able to be fast and cover some ground, buddy, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's
right. Are like torpedoes down there.
Man,
it's really neat how they fish down there, Mickey. It's all about those racks and those towers, and they just burn that sand until they find them, and they just stand there and drift and drift and drift until they get a shot at one of those big fish. Now, a lot of these guys, like Frank, they have these certain little areas that are tide sensitive where these big fish are pulling into in currents and stuff. I'm sure he's got the sweet spot down there where he's catching these fish. And I'm like Plog. I said, if I was him, I'd be in a different boat every day.
Yeah.
They're going to be bird-dogging that boy.
I'd have a different ninja costume on every day. Nobody would see my face or what I look like or anything.
I had that long time ago. I had that lake in Bay, and I was pretty much the only one down in Bath. And I was having some bad bird-dog problems with these new guys coming in from Victoria stuff back in, you know, 20 years ago when we really started catching those big fish. And I had that Yamaha motor, and I went to the dealership and got one of those Johnson white cloth covers. And I'd park on the bank, and I'd slip that white Johnson cover over that Yamaha. It looked like a white Johnson, and people just go right on by me.
Hey, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, it worked out really good, man.
Hey, you know what I used to do to deter people? You know, especially if you're boat fishing and fishing over structure and out deep and all that, I'd when I'd get ready to set up on some fish, I'd pull my cowling off and set it in the floor in the bottom of the boat.
Yeah, get away from me, won't they?
Look like you're broke down. And, boy, they start running out towards you to bird dog you, and they see that motor cover off, and, buddy, they just flare like a spoonbill on opening morning. They'll just curl out and go way around you. Ken Grissom even wrote an article about that in the Houston Post back in the day. He was fishing with me, and I did that one day to keep boats off of us. He said, that is unbelievable. That's back in the 80s.
That's a great idea, buddy. They're not going to help you with that cowling off most of the time.
No, pull that cowling off and set her on the floor, and it looks like you broke down, and they won't come.
And it's like Doug and I, we just had a few guys starting to work the bay, and, you know, Doug and I pretty much thought we owned Bath and Bay like 30 years ago, so we were upset when another boat came in the bay, you know. So
right.
We would take these big old bags of Fritos, you know, and we run down Rivera Channel, take a handful of Fritos, just dump them out along the channel there and go on to the back. And then we'd be ahead of the other guys. They'd stop and fish those Frito slicks. We'd be in our spots, and they'd be back there on the BFH radio talking about fishing those slicks and not catching anything. But, man, those Fritos make a great slick.
Yeah, they do. Good and greasy and oily.
Yeah, and, like a chicken wing.
Birds like them, too.
Yeah, it's great. But our trout fishing, you know, just it's so funny because the drift fishing is off in Bath. You know, I went down Tuesday and I had guys that didn't want to wade. And normally I can just work the trolling motor around the rocks and sandbars and catch plenty of fish out of the boat.
Right.
But I had a real strong southwest wind, didn't allow me to get up on the rocks. So I kind of had to stay on the drop-offs, and it wasn't near as good as it was up here. I came back up here at 10 o'clock and just spanked them. It's just amazing how many fish are in this current right now.
Right.
They'd be like that cooler water, and everything's on sand. And I guess there's probably 30 or 40 croaker boats out there this morning fishing that shoreline, but they're all getting their limit by 9, 10 o'clock at the latest. So man, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Golly. Well,
I haven't seen anything really big coming to our marina. I hadn't looked at Facebook or anything. I never do. But has Frank caught any more big fish over 10 down there?
He didn't want to elaborate on it, but yeah, they've caught some more big fish, and he's trying to hang on for dear life with that 11. That's going to be hard to beat, because you're going to have to catch a really beefy fat fish this time of year to beat that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you catch a 38 inch or something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, Mickey, you know, the time passes now, the harder it will be, because the fish are losing their weight. You know, they're losing that winter weight, they're losing the egg weight and the bulk and the heat stuff. They're going to lose a little bit of weight. So he's probably going to hang on with that 11 pounder. I think he's going to do it with that one. Probably will. You never know down here. I saw one this year that was just unbelievable. I told you I chased him for 3 days down here. That it's just unbelievable fish, and we haven't seen him since. But evidently he hadn't been caught yet. But there's been one up here. Everybody's been chasing. It's a 36, 38 inch fish. You know, that's up in our flats. Yeah, and I told you I spent 3 days on that fish. Just made me crazy. Every time you hook a redfish, you think you got him. You know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Hey, hang on. Let me do a quick commercial break. I'll come back to you. Stay with me, man.
All right.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 620 in the Bayou City. And real quick mention, too, we're going to have Fernando Raimondi in here in the morning with FCJ Marine. Yeah, he's going to come hang out with us on Father's Day. We'll be talking outboard engines and boat repairs and all that stuff on Open Line Sunday. So if you got any questions for Fernando, he'll be our guest in the morning to answer all those questions that Benny and I probably couldn't handle quite as efficiently as he can. So we'll have Fernando here in the morning for the Open Line Fun Sunday edition. All right, let's go back to Cliff Webb. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, man.
All right, we were catching 40-foot mammoths in knee-deep water over sand.
Oh, man. I'm dreaming right now, man.
Buddy.
Oh, God. Well, I'm really excited about this rain because, man, my lilies have been doing top water, so I'm glad to get I want to get those lilies back down. But it's funny because you can take them in the upper lagoon, they work fine. You can take them in the bath, and they're pretty much a top water right now. But I think this rain's going to really help us down south.
Man, how do you get a corky to go down in that, too? I bet corkies are pretty buoyant in that high salinity.
Yeah, even a regular XL Maridine, it seems so slow. It's just amazing. But it's going to change. It gets like this sometime. It just seems to be in the middle of the bay is the worst, but you come up on this in the lily, they're still whacking that lily. And that tan, you know, that's it's funny. The other day I got on that tan, and they like that thing too, man.
Oh, yeah, and the Perversa. You ought to try the Perversa. Yeah. I was using the Perversa before I found out about the lily.
Yeah, well, I had a guy put it on me in that Perversa one day. He had a dadgum, that one you like, that Woody Woodpecker, that white with the red head.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I never hardly ever fished that bait down here. I fish it for snook. But, man, he just wore us out on that thing. He was out in this real – it was kind of dingy water, and he was smoking them on it.
Dang.
Yeah, I'm ready for that stuff to work. But
something about y'all's dingy water. You can go to, like – remember one day I was waiting with Jay, and the wind got up, and, when we first started out, it was clear, and we were using, purples and reds and, glitter clear incandescent-looking types, soft plastics. And as soon as that water got sandy – I seen old Jay thread on a bass assassin over there, and it was a bone diamond. And he went to work on them in that water with that bone diamond. See, up here, that works better in clean water for us, and our darker baits work better in the sandy water. And down there, it seems to be just the opposite. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. And, if I fish in water that it's real stirred up, it's not so much it's just sand stirred up, that sandy stuff. And that bone diamond, if you got sunlight, man, that bone diamond, they'll smoke it. And if it gets really bad, I mean, I'm like everybody else. I I go to a really dark color, either that I love that red shad in
the
dark water with a chartreuse head. That's a great dark water, or plum chartreuse, or morning glory.
Right.
But it's got to get really dirty for me to fish that. I mean,
sure.
Dirty. We haven't seen that. I was going to tell you something happened Thursday in the surf that was just unbelievable. I'm walking the dog down the beach, my buddy Greg, the guy that was from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the Uper, my buddy, just moved down here. He bought a house, and so I met him at the beach on Thursday, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden we see a surfboard floating in the water, and it's not coming in, and this guy had hit the sandbar and broke his neck, and he was under the water.
Oh,
and so we pulled him out and gave him CPR for 25 minutes on the beach, and it happened to be a doctor, Lucha. Lewis is his name. He's a doctor from Peru, and he's a great surfer, moved down here, 63 years old. And anyway, so we kept it going. He'd been in the water for 5 minutes. The lady said, I've been watching that board for 5 minutes, and she never said anything until we finally went out there and got him. And anyway, got him up on the beach and got him pumped out. And when the paramedics finally came, they're not allowed to drive on the beach. They can't drive an ambulance on the beach. And so they had to send a fire truck with a guy over there to pick him up. And,
we did
chest compressions on him nonstop. I mean, from the time he was in the water for 25 minutes, everybody just switched off all the surfers there and gave him mouth to mouth. And he's got a heartbeat right now. He's in a coma, but it's amazing how long he's in the water. He opened his eyes yesterday. So,
wow.
They did it. Yeah, so I don't know what's going on there. He's still on the breathing machine and everything. But anyway, we're hopefully he's going to pull out of there. But
well, if he opened his eyes, he's got brain activity then anyway.
Yeah, they did a scan, had some brain activity, and his heart still had a pulse, there was another doctor, surfer there, the surgeon. We have a lot of surfers that are doctors. It's just amazing. Well, he came in, he ran in there, and started giving him mouth to mouth and got a lot more water out of him. But, there wasn't a defibrillator on that beach. The lifeguards don't get there till noon. And, and there wasn't a defibrillator. Nobody had one. And the fire station was only 5 minutes away, but they don't have a truck to get to the beach. Or evidently they didn't have a way to get there. But they won't let the city drive their ambulance on the beach because they're too heavy.
Even a life and death situation like that?
Yeah, I just don't understand that, Mickey. They got to get one of those big old fire trucks out there. And, they park on out there with the sand knots, and they walk over there. It's just like, God almighty, man. You think they'd have some kind of vehicle just to pull up there with a defibrillator, with these people that are drowning on the beach and not have to waste so much time, So, because time is so critical.
It is. When you're in that state.
If that ever happens, you never stop that CPR. You never stop. I mean, even though there's no movement. Just never stop that chest compression.
Not till you can get the EMS there and they have a defibrillator or whatever and they can pop him with it. And that's incredible that luckily for you, you had other people there to tell you, where y'all could switch out and keep the chest compressions going.
Greg, my buddy, that was his first day in Corpus. He just moved all this stuff, U-Haul and all that,
man,
from the Upper Peninsula, the Upra, I used to call him. He came down and he loved it here so much he bought a house. That was his first day here.
Right.
And he went out to the beach and we're sitting there having to pull a guy out of the surf, and but we're hoping he's going to make it. All our thoughts and prayers are with him, and we're hoping he's going to be all right. But he's still in a coma, so I guess the next few days will tell. But anyway, you just never know, man. It's just
I guess what happened. What did he do? He fell off
he broke his neck
on the sandbar. Okay.
Yeah, man. It's the waves are just pumping. It was just an inside break where it just dumps, And
right.
We didn't see it happen, but I'm sure he just. Either he dove first and then he hit his neck. His neck is broken. It's not where it's paralyzing, but he does have a fractured neck. And I could see a big old red stripe on his forehead, where he hit the sandbar. His head was bleeding. But, he just face planted in the sandbar. And, nobody was right there to see him. And the water's real dirty with that updwelling. And he was underwater with his surfboard leash still on. And he was, the board was sitting there, not coming in. Anytime you see a board not coming to the beach, there's somebody on it.
Well, yeah, somebody's on the bottom with their leash on, and that board won't come in. Wow.
The lady was watching. She says, I've been watching that board for 5 minutes. I thought it was a log under it. And I said, oh, God. Then we get out there and get him up on the beach. And then, a couple of my buddies, Frank and the other doctor, they worked so hard on that guy. I mean, there was just never a second he didn't have a chest compression going on all the way to the paramedics. So. Maybe that's gonna do something. But anyway, that was the way that our week went down here. You just never know, buddy. Man.
No, you don't. And we lose somebody very impressive, and in the fishing community, it seems like weekly now. You know, we lost Michael Byram a week ago, then we lost Flynn Simmons this week, and then we lost Norbert Ramon Burt. He was a HFD officer, a true hero. I mean, a great guy, and he lost his battle with cancer. So it's just, man, I can't tell everybody, enjoy it while you're here. Live it like you're here.
Yes, sir.
You got to. You just got to live large. Enjoy it. Do what you want to do because it can. The man can take it away from you in a heartbeat, man. Just like that guy surfing, that doctor. That's crazy.
You know, 63 years old. I tell everybody, I says, you know, I watch all these guys wait till 65 to retire to do everything. I said, don't wait till 65 to retire. I said, do what you want to do now. There's no guarantee at 65 you're going to be physically able. A lot of people retire at 65 and they go places and watch young people play because they've already gone past their prime. They can't do what they want to do. So I said, you know, take the time off now. You can always work.
Do it now. That's right.
That's it, Bubba. That's
play
it,
play when you're young and work when you're old.
Yeah, man. That's it.
That's kind of way I'm pacing myself.
You're pacing yourself,
I'm
huh?
pacing myself. I'm going to try and make it as long as I can radio.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you.
Come in here on a walker and do a show. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm the same way. If somebody could put me in a boat and get me out, I'm still going to chase you, you know?
This is a good retirement job.
I told those young guys, I said, look, it's going to be a time when I can't find my way back to the marina. Y'all just take turns, come get me, okay?
You know, we had a really good fisherman on Trinity Bay, and I was pretty close to him. He was a really nice guy, and he liked to throw popping cork and live shrimp. He could fish with lures. He wouldn't ever fish with them up here, but he'd go down to Mansfield or Corpus, and he would wade and throw lures, but he wouldn't do it up here.
Huh.
He always wanted to fish the wells of Trinity Bay with a popping cork and shrimp, but really great guy. We know he was getting older, getting up in age in his 70s, and he started getting Alzheimer's. And he'd go out in the bay, and he'd get lost. He'd forget where he was at and forget where the marina was. He'd get all disoriented, and that's just terrible.
Well, I think what's going to happen, Mickey, is when you and I get to that point, hope the GPS will have a home button on it where you can just push it, and that boat will just take you back to the marina. That's what we're going to need, a little button around your neck to make the boat home. But,
all right, just go ahead. Yeah, like Flog says, just cut your throat and slide on over the side. Let the sharks have the rest.
I know it, man.
Hey, when he said that about Charlie this morning, said, hey, man.
Bad.
Hey, after I hear Charlie give a report, I don't know whether to go down and buy a new boat and get all pumped up or go out in the driveway and blow my head off.
Man, I went down and fished with Charlie. What a blast.
Hey, he's something else, man. Charlie, he's been around forever. I've fished with him a bunch in my lifetime, and he's a good guy, great guy.
Yeah, he's a good fisherman too, man. That guy works hard. Is. God Almighty, man.
Yeah, he is. He's a grinder. Charlie will grind.
He just he makes him 25-year-olds look stupid. He just gets it, man. I'm impressed. God Almighty,
he just waited
all day long with that guy.
You just slow everything down and take your time and keep chunking.
Yeah, that's what. You know, I get these guys that just a few weeks ago, I had a guy that hadn't fished in 5 years in Bath. And so they think when they come here, it's going to be just like they left it 5 years ago. And so they get in the boat and, you know, at 10 o'clock, we got 76 pounds of redfish and trout. And they want to keep keepers, so we kept everything under 20 inches. And they're complaining about the fishing. I said, look, I can't put another fish in this box. I'm sorry you're not catching no monster trout, but it is what it is. You know, we're not catching those 6 and 7 pounders around every rock like we used to. It's just different now. It's like Plog and everybody was saying, it's just different times. You
know? It is.
It's just a different bay right now.
You just
I have a guy that was 80 years old, never threw artificial in his life, caught his first trout on artificial with me last week. That was pretty cool.
Well, that's good.
80 years old, never threw plastics. Made it.
You know, Jay Watkins and I were talking about the very same thing yesterday morning. You know, things have changed, and you know, you got to appreciate it for what it is, and there's more to it than just stacking a big old giant box of big nasty trout in it. You know,
That's it.
Just got to take what it gives you and try to make the most of it and enjoy as much of it as you can.
Yeah, you're going for the day. You're going to try to learn something. I have very few people even want to catch fish. It's about learning, you know, techniques and learning different stuff on lures and stuff. And every once in a while you get those guys that they want to keep all their redfish and trout for a cookout or something. So we did. We kept a bunch of, you know, 16, 17 inch trout and a whole bunch of those mud apes. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
You can take all those you
Kill
want.
Them all. Man. You bet. Take them all.
No. Hey, believe me, there's days I really appreciate them. I know you do too, man.
Yeah. It's, I don't catch a lot of mud apes anymore like we did. We're kind of in a lull on those too. Wait, when
really?
You do, yeah, we can, I can go find about four different schools, but they're all longer than your leg. They're nasty. 38 to 42 inches.
That's what we got into yesterday, those big 32 to 35.
Reel a couple of them in.
Carol didn't want to go back to them. She's,
yeah. After they reel a couple of those a piece in, they're ready to go look for trout again.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, Cliff.
Hopefully we don't get too much rain.
I appreciate y'all doing what you could for that doctor down there, that server, man. That's hard to hear.
Yeah, well,
that's,
keep your thoughts and prayers. All this, Lewis is his name. We call him Licho, but Lewis is his name. Just appreciate all your thoughts and prayers for him, man.
Licho, I like that. Good nickname, yeah, Licho.
Yeah, he's from Peru. He's a doctor from Peru, and he works on most of the surfers, so everybody knows him, you know. So we're hoping he pulls through. Well, but thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate
we'll
it.
We'll say a prayer for him. Throw him out a number, Cliff. Somebody wants to call you, buddy.
Okay, I'm in the area code 361-949-0707. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Cliff. Thanks, you have Cliff. A great weekend. Happy Father's Day. Amen. See you, buddy.
Okay,
all right,
thank
take
you.
Care.
You too.
All righty. Cliff Webb. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning, the day before Father's Day. 6:40 in the Bayou City. As the world turns. Yeah, we had a caller call and mentioned you can't use a defibrillator on a wet body. Yeah, that's pretty much common sense. But after 25 minutes of chest compressions on the beach, and he's probably dry. I'm sure the EMS did. They probably dried him off, or I don't know how that works, but sounds good. At least they got him stable. He's still alive.
Still alive.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Great effort. All right, let's go to Johnny Walker, man. Let's go deep, man. Let's go blue. Let's do it. Captain Johnny Walker, my man. What's up, bud?
Well, how you doing, man? I'm just rounding the number one here, heading offshore.
Heading to the big pond.
Yeah, you bet. It's gonna be. I tell you what, this whole last 3-4 days ahead of this low there has been kind of, you know, really choppy. But today is marginal. But hey, I got some tough people. We're gonna try it. You know.
Well, you had some toad snapper yesterday. What's some fat pigs, man? Those were beautiful fish.
Yeah, and that was shallow water too. I was not a lot of folks out there the last couple of days, so I was able to fish close, and I think we were fishing 70 feet of water and we caught those. So
dang.
Yeah, fishing's really, really good, and the current is finally starting to kind of lay down just a little bit to where you can fish, you know. But the seas are, it's just tough getting there, you know.
Yeah.
This whole week has been just torture trying to get there, but hey, we're, you know, once you get there, it's not a problem. There's plenty of snappers. King fishing's been a little bit tough this week. With this pressure, those pelagics, they just kind of shut down, you know what I mean? It's
right.
Kind of tough, but been catching a few of those every day and starting to see some Dorado. They're starting to show up, so and, of course, the occasional lean, you know. We had one about 55 pounds yesterday.
Dang.
That's a good one.
Yeah, really nice fish. But, if you can brave the seas, buddy, you know, no problem. I have a feeling after this little deal gets over with Monday, Tuesday, you know, you're going to see the Gulf start to kind of start set into that summer pattern, you know what I mean, to where we
sure.
can get some nice days where some people can get offshore. But yeah, fishing's great, Mickey, and like I said, if you can get out there, there's pretty much, you know, 30, 40 miles is as far as you need to go.
Awesome. I'm sure the mosquito fleet loves hearing that, if it'll just lay down.
Yeah, they do. You know, I know with this recreational season opening up for this long, those people are ready to get out there. But, you know, probably another week or so, we'll get that it'll start getting to where those guys can get out. But yeah, hillbank rocks are really good for kingfish. If you want to go a little bit further, you can go to 15 and A lot of folks catching some nights. I think a couple boats before this deal, you know, it started getting rough. They catching some wahoo, some big kingfishes, claypaws there. So, but yeah, fishing's great. Fishing's great everywhere right now. Just need a freaking tugboat to get there, you know?
Yep, and even that nice rig of yours, it's a little bit bumpy.
Yeah, it is. It is. But we're able to fish, and that's the important thing, you know, being safe. That's the number one thing. But yeah, it's been good. We've been catching a lot of kingfish pulling plugs this year. I've been dragging a lot of baits around these rocks, and we've been picking up most of them there, because, especially this last week with the tough light. We've been pulling a lot of plugs, and you know, pretty much catching all our snappers on deadbait, sardines. So,
right.
But, you know, cigar tip jigs and stuff like that works really good. But yeah, it's been a.
Did Plog send you the pictures of that shark Cameron and them had on that they caught in that billfish tournament?
No, he did not. Okay, yeah. Big one?
Yeah, it was big. I'd say, you know, Cameron was just kind of guessing the 800 pounds, but I think he was a 1,000 pounder. It was a long fin mako.
Oh, beautiful fish.
Yeah,
beautiful
it looked
fish.
Like a great white. That's what they thought it was till, you know, they got home and put the photos from under the underwater camera on the boat and saw it underwater, and you could see that long pectoral fin on it, and there was no doubt about it what it was.
Fish.
But he said, man, that thing, when he leadered that fish, and it was, he said he couldn't believe how loud it was snapping at him, you know, like a pit bulldog, how loud the jaws were on that huge fish, man.
Oh, just one powerful fish. I've caught one probably, you know, when I was buoy fishing, sword fishing, let it go, but I caught it on a hand line, and I bet that fish was probably 650 pounds. But yeah, what a beautiful fish.
They are. They're
really pretty.
That's an eating machine right there, man. That's
I'm telling you. fish,
I promise you they'd eat you.
Oh yeah, they're man eaters for sure. You get out there, it's gonna be a little Scooby snack for them. But yeah, as I said before, you brave the seas right now. You're gonna get out there and catch them good. But another week or two, them little boats will be able to take off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, just if you got to go right now, you just got to saddle up and put your spurs on and go get with it, man.
That's it. And know that once you get there, fishing's gonna be good. You know. And we did catch a few Dorado yesterday, a few little wee lines showing up, but damn, it's so damn rough. It's hard to get on anything that's consistent, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How about, when you book a crew, how do they book you? What's the deal? How many do you take, and how does that lay out?
Well, I take up to six people on this boat. We've got, of course, two boats, the Invincible and in this boat. Boats, you know, a little pricey. You book the trip. It's you bring what you want to eat and drink, and we supply all the bait, tackle, and I've got really good quality stuff.
You know, I know you do. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, but we've got two different boats that are priced. One's priced a lot more, you know, lower than this price. I take a lot of corporate trips on this one.
Right.
So it's a little pricey. Yeah, both boats are available, and if they need a trip or whatnot, they can call my wife, Lisa, and book it. I think I've got, I don't know, six or seven days left in this month to book up. But I think the weather is going to be the only issue that's going to keep us from, you know, and it's going to have to be pretty steep to keep this boat at the dock, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I heard that. They're big, you're running. And how's that boat, how are you, now that you've been running a long time, how do you really like it? Is it everything you expected it to be?
Yeah, when I designed it, I, you know, put a lot of V in the front of the boat. Most Carolina boats have a lot of dead rise forward, but this one's got more than anyone they've ever built. But, you know, it's a run. You know, you when I get a lot of weight on the front, like I'm, you know, going out to catch a lot of snapper.
Yeah.
A little bit because, you know, it's got so much entry on the front. But, yeah, best head sea boat I've ever been in my life. It just really runs good. But, yeah, I'm happy with it. It doesn't burn a lot of fuel. I'd say my fuel burn is probably 140 to 200 gallons a day, which is incredible for this size. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, that's I used to have bay boats that would do that back in the day, chasing birds.
Yeah.
Hey, one morning of working birds, you'd burn 100 gallons with an outboard.
Oh,
boat,
I know.
Remember those days?
Right. Oh, yeah. You bet. But yeah, it's I've enjoyed it. The single engine is nice. A lot of people are like, well, single engine, a big boat that big with a single engine. But I tell you what, you keep that single engine running really good. You know what I mean?
I heard that, bud. So, you got to, man, for what you do.
You bet. But some of the, you know, those crabbers in the Northeast and all those big boats you see are all single engine boats. Probably some of the most durable, some of the most durable equipment you'll see out there. But yeah, I'm real happy with it. And it's, hey. We'll time will tell. We'll see how it holds up during the next 5, 6, 8 years.
Well, that's good for you. Well, hey, I know you're busy, and I can't believe how quiet your wheelhouse is and everything. I can't even tell you're in a boat.
Yeah, can you hear the turbos a little bit?
No, not really. It's pretty quiet. I'm real impressed, man.
Yeah,
I really am.
Yeah, real quiet. Yeah, the 2,000 horsepower about 2 feet from me underneath there. Yeah, it's quiet. It's,
wow. How many RPMs are you running right now?
I'm running 1,400, and I'm running 23 knots.
Wow.
Whoa.
23 knots at 1,400 RPM. So it's just moping along.
That's good enough, but, man. That's plenty good for me.
Yeah.
Can't beat comfort, brother. You can't beat it.
That's right. But, it looks like it's we're going to be able to make it here. I'm just fixing around the edge of the jetty here. But, if this July is coming, I have a feeling it's going to be really good. Shrimp boats will be showing up here in a few weeks, and that's fishing. I'm excited about it. It always, big cobias show up with them, and you never know what you're going to catch out of those. A lot of fun.
Okay? I used to love working them shrimp boats, man. That was my favorite kind of fishing.
Favorite.
Yeah, mine
my
too.
My favorite deal.
You never know.
You'll pull up big Dorado or big Ling, or you just never know.
Or melt down everything in the boat on kingfish, I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah. You get some nice ones there.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
It's for the charter boats out of here, sometimes it spreads the kingfish out. We typically every day go to two or three different rocks, and we know they're there. And when those shrimp boats show up, it'll kind of spread them out. You know what I mean? They're going to go where the food's at. So,
they're going to do,
you know what I mean, or culling, you know.
Right. All right, Johnny. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you, call Lisa and get a trip down on one of your boats. How do they get a hold of you, my friend?
Yeah, just you can call Lisa. It's area code 713-823-3293, or you can give me a call on my phone. It's 713-408-1509.
All right, Johnny. Well, hey, have a great Father's Day weekend, and good luck to you out there today, my friend.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, Johnny. Thank you. See you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Johnny Walker. He's a man.
Is he? I don't think I know him.
Oh, yeah. Johnny's he's been around a long time.
Any kin to the Johnny Walkers who used to be down there in Kema?
I don't know about that.
Huh?
Talking about the restaurant?
Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember the restaurant.
You got Jimmy Walker Whiskey
Johnny Walker
restaurant. Pull in, order some seafood, and give me a Jimmy Walker Red or a Johnny Walker Red.
Johnny Walker Red.
Oh, well. Oh, it's all fun. No, he's an offshore guru. He's the man. He is a fishing machine. Knows his business.
Sounds like it.
He does.
Sounds like it, yeah.
His boat is very impressive. They do a great job with their parties they take. I really do. First class.
Sound like you can keep it dry, too.
All the way. Oh, you'll stay dry in that boat, I promise you. You got that right. And comfortable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.